This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Jonathan Aul.
And I'm Jasmine Creighton.
The Republican presidential candidates made some demands a couple weeks ago. They don't like the way the debates have been run. They don't like the questions that have been asked. They want to have a little more control over this. Jasmine, do you think they're right to make this sort of request, or do you think they're off base?
I think they're off base about many of the requests. Do I think that some of the debates have been poorly done? Yes. Yes, I do. And I've watched them all. CNBC, I thought, did a poor job. And just as someone who teaches television production, aesthetically, I think they did a poor job with the sound. I thought they did a poor job, stepping over each other on questions. I thought it was not handled well. And some of the questions were outright just dumb when it came down to it.
They asked some pretty silly questions.
Yeah, yeah, they really did. And they were called out on it by a candidate. I can't remember who now, but one of the candidates did call them on some of the questions. And I think that, if we're going to ask questions, they're allowed to say something about us. But what we, as journalists, our job is to ask questions. And even if it seems to be a stupid question, sure, we'll ask it. Is it really appropriate for a debate where millions of Americans are watching and trying to decide on a president? Probably not. There's a time and a place for some of those questions. But it's not just been the debates. With Dr. Ben Carson, who's running for president, he has complained a lot about the liberal media bias, and he feels that the media are out to get him. And he has been accusing the media of just going after him, although he's been bringing up these stories about his past and about his childhood and a violent childhood. And they are asking questions about, well, who were these people? And he refuses to name them. So CNN's been digging into it. And CNN did do an interview with him very recently. And he refused to name any of these people. And then he accused them of just trying to distract the general audience at large.
And yet he's the one who brought this up.
Right.
He brought up the distraction.
You brought it up, so now we're going to ask you about it. That's how that works.
I think it's also very telling that, at least in the Republican side, the two biggest instigators of change in the debate format are Donald Trump and Ben Carson, the two people who have never been in any kind of public office before, who've never had to stand up to any kind of public scrutiny, who have had professional lives where they had a very high level of ability to control the messaging about them, their brand, and they've never had to deal with accountability mm-hmm. to a group like the public. So I think that you're seeing that's what this is about. Yeah, I think some of the debates were done very poorly, but I think some of them were done well. I think there is definitely a challenge with the size of the Republican field, mm-hmm. Having this so-called undercard and, having people – having the journalists decide who's – I think that's not good. Having the journalists decide who's on the undercard and who's in the main event, I don't think that's very good, but it's also a challenge. How do you deal with it?
Yeah, how would you deal with 17 people on stage?
I would do it in candidate forums. I'd do it, split them into groups of three and randomly pick who is in what group and do, an hour three nights in a row and let that be the determining factor and give everybody the opportunity to participate. That would seem to be a better thing to me. But, really this the bigger picture here, and Jasmine, you alluded it to, is controlling the message and what you have to answer to. And I think that we forget how far we've come. When President Ford died, I was working in Peoria at the time. And so when he died, I remembered we had an old reel-to-reel tape on the wall of his appearance at Bradley University in 1975 maybe. I listened to it. And the president of the United States was in Peoria, Illinois, and took questions from the audience. Mm-hmm. Not planted questions. Just come up to the microphone and ask the president of the United States a question. Hmm. That doesn't happen anymore. They're much more interested in controlling the message. And that's what's happening with this debate.
Controlling who gets to the microphone in a situation like that and controlling who even gets into the the auditorium where an event is being held to control who asks questions.
Right. I think it was the same debate. Was it the CNBC debate where the students at the university in Colorado weren't even allowed in? And they wanted to go and and watch it, and they weren't even allowed inside. There was a protest outside during that.
And the arena held like 10,000, and they were only using 1,000 of the seats. So right. It wasn't that there wasn't room.
There was room. They just didn't want them inside.
Yeah.
I wish we also could retire the tired phrase, the liberal media.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton has probably been scrutinized as much as any candidate in the history of the United States. And are you going to blame the liberal media for that?
It's really interesting because Donald Trump went after Anderson Cooper for when Donald Trump said that, you know, they lofted softballs at Hillary Clinton during that CNN debate. And Anderson Cooper got on and said, okay, here's the questions we asked. And they ran the tape of five or six questions that were directed to Hillary Clinton, and none of them were even remotely softball. So I think that you're finding people who are new to the idea of accountability learning the hard way of what that's like and struggling to figure out a way of how they can avoid it.
Yeah, that's a very good point there, is that Trump and Carson are just not used to this. They're used to having everyone say yes to them and them being in total control of the message, as you were saying, Jonathan. And if you haven't been through the ringer before, I imagine this is pretty tough for them.
Yeah, and it's really bothersome, the kill the messenger mentality. I mean, we're doing our jobs and we're trying to ask questions to these people, and they don't want to answer them. And you have to ask yourself, why don't they want to answer these questions?
Yeah, Trump just gives generalities. So we don't get details from him. At some point, you're right, Jasmine, it's our job, the media, to ask the tough questions and dig and get some details on exactly what these people want to do who want to lead this nation.
And, you know, it's also a real shame that the candidates that are at least, you know, giving more specifics, like John Kasich, for example, keeps getting marginalized by the media. That he has some ideas, whether they're good or not, people get to decide. But his voice is getting lost, so that the media and even the, I'll say it, the conservative media, like Fox News and some other branches that cater to a conservative audience, they're not listening to him and they're not putting his views out there for people to hear. So, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around. But if everybody focused on getting the issues and facts out there, I think the voters would all be better off.
Although that might make for boring television, and maybe that's why his views don't get out or specifics don't get out, because that's not as entertaining as one-liners and jabs at each other.
Yeah, I can tell you, if I did a content analysis of CNN and the video that they offer up to all their affiliates, including our newscast because we have that access, Trump's stories overwhelm that video. Any Trump coverage is going to make air. And many of the other voices are not being heard, and that is true.
All right. With that, we have run out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.